She's filling in for Mr.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm sorry. Apologies for the presenter here that is not the one that was supposed to. My name is Andiara Schwingo. I'm the PI on this project, and I think I'll be able to talk about it and let you know what this project called Abuelas en Acción is. So I'm just, first of all, want to acknowledge that this is really a teamwork. I've been working with my graduate students in this project for the past 2 years. And so what I'll be presenting today, actually, Kalachi just arrived. Do you want to come over, Kals, and present to us? So this is an intervention that we conducted with the Latino community in the suburb Chicago area. And Kals, come over and present to us the findings of it. Excuse me.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Kalachi Ibe Lamberts. I'm a third-year doctoral student at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, in the Department of Community Health and Kinesiology, as you've met my advisor, Dr. Andiara Schwingo. I'm speaking on behalf of the Aging and Diversity Lab and the work that we've been doing for over the past year and a half. We're talking on examining physical activity levels and the attitudes towards physical activity by older Mexican women who live in the United States after a six-month lifestyle intervention period. So let's get to it. So when we, just some background information, what were the motivating factors to why we wanted to explore this particular study? And as we all know as health professionals, research shows that generally many, not all, but many older Latinas tend to engage in unhealthy behaviors due to particular barriers, whether it may be cultural barriers, whether it may be physical barriers that they may face, or even lack of education when it comes to health and what they can do as far as engaging in a physically active lifestyle and making better health decisions in regards to their behaviors. So with that and a lot of the other researches, they indicate and they promote the fact that there needs to be more culturally sensitive programs that need to be developed in order to promote physical activity and other healthy behaviors among this particular community, because public health, as we know, physical activity is a public health burden when it comes to focusing on minority populations. So that speaks to our purpose. The purpose was to examine the physical activity levels and also the perceptions of physical activity by older Mexican women after a lifestyle behavioral change program that went throughout the course of a year. I know in the title it says 6 months, but we'll talk a little bit more about it after a 12-month span. So how do we go about doing this? What community did we access? We accessed a community that was predominantly of Hispanic, a high-end Hispanic population, which is on the west side of Chicago called Little Village. We were able to have about 34 participants, and we had 14 out of the 34 engage in in-depth interviews with the research team, in which we were able to assess and have them construct their perceptions on physical activity, whether it changed or not, after the six-month intervention program. So the Abuelas en Acción program, which is the lifestyle behavioral change program that was developed by my friend Andiara Schwingo, was initially sparked by a pilot study that we conducted that assessed what were the motivational factors for our older Latina Mexican participants as far as making choices that was relative to their health. And what we came to find out was the fact that intergenerational activities and religious content was more the motivational factor. So programs or activities that included them and their grandchildren, due to more, and when we talk about the Hispanic culture, a lot of the abuelas are the caretakers of the grandchildren because maybe mom and dad have to work or whatever the case may be. So with that responsibility, they have to be involved in programs that encourage them to be able to participate with their grandchildren, whether it's indoor or outdoor activities. Plus, when we talk about the culture and the spiritual factors within this particular population, which is embedded in their ethos, religion is the key. And therefore, any decision that they make or any activity that they made is facilitated around their religious beliefs. So therefore, we decided that we wanted to integrate our program through the church, because that's the source and the main guide of their faith when it comes to activity. So with that, our educational workshop was guided through tailoring it through those two factors. And it focused on physical activity, stress management, and nutrition. But for the sake of this particular project, we're focusing on physical activity. But I do have other lab members here in this this conference who actually did presentations that talked about the other two factors. So hopefully you've seen it, or there's another roundtable that's going on that actually talks about stress management. So what's the essential element? What is the heart and soul, and how did Abuelas in Action function? And it was, like I said, a 12-month intervention program, which was broken down into two phases. You had the six-month intervention phase, and you had the six-month maintenance phase. The six-month intervention phase was facilitated by the people I'll talk about, who we called our promotoras. Sorry, my tongue isn't rolling too much today. But our promotoras are our community leaders that I'll talk about a little bit that facilitated the program. And what they did was met with our participants, and they developed plans, action plans, goals in which they would be able to achieve over the 12-month span. And they were encouraged to be able to maintain this through weekly phone calls in which they would talk to our promotoras just in case they were not feeling motivated, they were feeling like they were close to deviating away from the program, and you know, they would get these weekly phone calls to make sure that they were on task. And then also we would have our monthly educational workshop, which was able to empower them and give them the necessary knowledge and the necessary resources for them to be able to know what type of choices they should make on their own. And then after the six-month phase, that we had our six-month sustenance phase, just to be able to make sure that we can continue to evaluate and continue to keep up with our participants to make sure that they were still motivated, still making the healthy choices in which we've taught them to do, our promotoras at least have taught them to do, and to see if they were sustaining over a longitudinal scale. So just to talk a little bit, just give you a little bit of insight of how the workshop, the curriculum of Abuelas in Action, it was, like I said, for this study, we're talking about physical activity. And within physical activity session, we talked about aerobic activities, which talked about moderate and vigorous physical activity programs, which was whether talking about brisk walking, activities indoor or outdoor, or even we're talking about high intensity, whether it's talking about running, swimming, whatever the case may be, dancing. And then we also focused on resistance training, in which we are able to give them resistance bands and teach them how to use it so they can be able to get a little bit of muscle training going on as far as staying active physically at home. If I'm speaking too fast, please let me know. And then also when it comes to ways of being active, and to me this is the heart and soul of Abuelas in Action, because this particular portion of the program is part of our educational workshop, which we are able to encourage them and empower them to be physically active in their own way, to be able to let them know that being physically active isn't predicated on having a health professional simply come and tell you what to do, but it's in your own hands, in doing whether it's doing something at home, whether it's doing something with your kids, being able to give them the necessary resources and education to be able to let them know that physical activity is in your own hands, no matter what age you are. And like I mentioned, nutrition and stress management is something that is being presented elsewhere, so we'll keep moving. So the AEA promotoras were the community leaders who were willing to come in and have us train them and give them the tools and the equipment for them to be able to deliver the program to our participants. So these were the mouthpieces for us when it came to going into the community and actually training and keeping up with our participants to make sure that they were staying on task, like I mentioned earlier. And with that, we believe that these people were able to alleviate a lot of the barriers that we thought we would face when it comes to language barriers, when it comes to knowing people that know the terrain and understand the culture. So they were able to deliver the program in a way that was feasible to our participants. So then how do we assess the level of physical activity, which is what the overall topic is talking about? We were able to use accelerometers from the baseline period, which is the beginning of the program, 6 months into the period, and 12 months into the program. So from the beginning, the intervention phase, and the sustenance phase, we were able to assess their physical activity levels, whether it was moderately or whether it was vigorous, through these accelerometers. They would have it for 7 days of the week. They would use it for 10 hours a day, and they were able to distinguish whether they were physically active intensely or they were mildly physically active. And then, like I mentioned, 14 participants were able to we were able to interview 14 participants and talk about their in-depth perception of whether physical activity had changed from the baseline period, 6 months into it, and 12 months into it. So we're able to get a little bit in-depth insight on their perceptions along the duration of this program. So as we talk about the results, and I might move a little bit just to point some things out. Now, as we know, the federal guidelines of physical activity focus on bouts that are 10 minutes or more. So, and if you're talking about on a weekly basis, the federal guidelines for physical activity only counts bouts for 10 or more, but then overall 150 minutes a week. So if we look at the top portion of the results, when you're including the physical activity guidelines, it shows that our participants, particularly Hispanic women that are over the age of 50, Mexican women that are over the age of 50, are incredibly sedentary. It shows that if you're comparing over 150 a week, you're talking about 21, even 6 months into it, 33, 12 months into it, 30. But then if we take, and if you look at the bouts, if you're only talking about how many bouts a week, the numbers are also low as well. But then when we take into account all the physical activity of our participants, bout independent, so anything less or more or of 10 minutes or just overall what they've done throughout the course of a week or so, we tend to see that they are extremely over the guideline of 150. They're 175. And if you look at the six-month period, it's a 53-minute increase. And then if you look 12 months, we just added, because the six-month period is what was on the article from our publication, but 12 months into it, you see another 20-minute increase. So if you look at it, from 6 months into being in the program, there seems to be a significant increase as far as the impact of the program when it comes to the delivery of it, because there's an increase in the physical activity by our participants. And then if we talk about, this is just another graph just to show that when you're talking about people that are categorized participants as active, whether we're bout independent, like the numbers I showed below, 55 would be categorized as physically active. But then if you talk about 6 months into the Abuelas en Acción program, increases to about close to 80%. And then 6 months after, in the sustenance phase, it's about 90%, close to 90%, 87. So there seems to be a significant increasing trend that's showing when we talk about taking away and only including everything and taking away just the bouts of 10 minutes or more. So here, just from the qualitative aspect, here are some of the views that were constructed by participants after engaging in an interview with us. So when it talks about being committed to being active, one of the participants said, "I try to not be sitting. If I sit down to cut vegetables, I better stand up. I try to be moving." Another participant, Mrs. E, says, "To move more, to be more active for oneself is to be healthier. This is a commitment with ourselves." And then when we talk about their perceptions as far as being active their way, like I said, one of the hearts and souls of Abuelas en Acción, "I put on my music. When I'm cooking, I'm dancing, I am moving. If I cannot go outside, I walk at home, I sweep, I mop, take care of my grandchildren. When they come home from school, I have to serve them dinner. This is when I move a lot." So there seems to be an understanding, there seems to be a constructive perception when it comes to being physically active by our participants. So then when we talk about final considerations, implications, and conclusions of this study, number one, it shows that there is an impact on physical activity, whether it be moderate or vigorous, by our participants. And when it comes to the design, I mean, if we go back and we look at the disparity between the numbers, it brings up a particular issue that should be addressed by public health officials as to whether we should count bouts of 10 or more, or we should be inclusive to everything. Because if we're simply using the guideline, if we're simply using this number and we're recording that and we're putting that on federal papers, it tends to show a huge disparity that may not necessarily be accurate. So it's something that public health officials, we believe, we should bring tonight as far as the cultural sensitivity and the deliverance of the program and the effectiveness of it, you know, through the designs in which we had constructed. Because when we talk about the usual conventional programs, as I mentioned, most behavior change programs are facilitated by the health professionals. But we, with Abuelas en Acción, were able to use a program that was for the people, by the people. It was by picking out community leaders, having them deliver the program, and being able to alleviate these particular barriers, particularly the most important, communication. Being able to communicate the necessities and the resources and being able to educate them, we believe that it's the more effective way of having behavioral change programs for the forthcoming future. So we do believe that this particular study can be able to affect future studies when we're talking about culturally sensitive programs that are focused on minority populations, because we do understand that each minority population does have a culture and we need to be sensitive to their culture. So we believe that this particular design is able to not just affect our participants on a short-term scale, but we're talking about longevity. We're talking about a longitudinal scale. We believe that being able to have a continual program delivered by members of the community, you're able to sustain that program on a longitudinal scale. So that's a Brothers in Action. And I'd like to thank you guys for listening. I'd like to thank my advisor, Dr. Andrea Raswingo. I'd like to thank the Aging and Diversity Lab, particularly our head of the department, Dr. Wojtek, who's also one of the key leaders of the Aging and Diversity Lab, and the rest of my team. And if you have any other questions, please feel free to email me. But on that note, I'd like to thank you guys for listening to me. I appreciate it.